Well, good morning again. I'm glad that you are here. We are in the middle of this series, like I mentioned earlier, about being still. Life gets crazy sometimes, and in the chaos, we need to just remember, stop, take a breath, and just relax. Last week, we started this, and the idea of this sermon comes from Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, you see this chaotic, and you see that when God, things are peaceful. And so in light of the storm, in light of the chaos of life, when we are with God, we can find peace in the middle of that. And then we saw that God commands us to be still or to stop fighting, to just chill out and know that He is God, which is really good news for us because it means you are not. I am not God, and we don't have to worry about the things that God can take care of. And so the idea is that we are being still. And so today's sermon is taken from Mark chapter 1. If you want to start making your way to Mark, I encourage you to bring your Bible. Even if you've got an electronic device, it's always good to have God's Word. Bring your Bible and then you can scribble down some notes in the margins if you want. Or in our bulletin, we also have the outline for the week. I encourage you to go to or find Mark chapter 1. We're going to start somewhere around verse 35. And today's sermon is called Knowing and Knowing. And you'll see that in a minute when the points come up. Knowing and Knowing. And what do we mean by that? I'll unfold that as we go along. Last week I asked you if you ever felt like you passed yourself on the road sometimes, and today I want to ask you, have you ever felt like you just had too many irons in the fire? You just had too much going on, you had committed to too many things, you were just, you didn't have time for anything else. I remember last year at this time, and this springtime, life was very chaotic for me. Life, I had way too many irons in the fire. Besides being a pastor and being a husband, I also started school again. So I'm going to school. I'm reading a lot, writing papers, doing all that good stuff, and I'm in school. And then also, I'm teaching a philosophy of religion class, which is always special. Philosophy has its own language that you've got to figure out what are they talking about and then how to teach that to someone else. I had never done that before. And so, man, was I in deep with philosophy of religion. I tried to talk a little bit about it one Wednesday night, and people just looked at me weird. and so it's like, I don't know about this stuff. And so philosophy of religion, I was teaching on Monday nights as well. I was at the time the moderator of the association. If you don't know, as a Baptist church, we are in an association with, we have about 32 other churches. And the moderator kind of sets the agenda for the year and puts a theme out, and we were doing training and those things, and so I was the moderator of the association, kind of the president, if you will, and the DOM decided he was going to retire at the end of May. And so I had all that going on as well. I was planning a trip to Africa for 30 people, along with some help, but these were all things that I was doing, and they're all good things. They're all great things, but in reality, I was overstretched. And that means I couldn't do everything the best, and everything couldn't get my best. And so I had way too many irons in the fire. Do you ever feel overstretched? Maybe you feel overstretched right now. You've got too much going on. You've got too many stressors, too many things going on. And so today, I want us to know this. In order for God, in order for us to give our best to God, we have to say no to some things. Hear that? In order for us to give God our best, we have to say no to some things. And what I want you to do today is I want you to evaluate your relationship with God, and I want you to see if there's anything that you need to get down. Are there any areas of your life that you need to pare down? And know this, it may be some good things that you've got to just let go. And so today I want to take this scripture and see that Jesus, he wants to know God, and then there's some knowing as well. Maybe you need to pare down some things so that you can serve God the way he has called you to serve. Maybe there's some things you need to let go so that you can volunteer and do what God has called you to do. And so today I want to encourage you to, as we go through this text and as we read from the life of Jesus and as we see what he does and as we apply this to our life, how is this affecting you? Where do you need to pare down? Where do you need to give some things up? Where do you need to give your best in life? So if we go to Mark chapter 1, lots of things are going on in Mark chapter 1. Jesus begins his ministry with Mark chapter 1. He's an adult already. There's no birth narratives. He just starts with the baptism and boom, he's in ministry. And so he is at a synagogue and he's teaching and he's in Capernaum and he's at a house and he's healing. And so he has just spent the evening with a group of people who were in need. They needed healing, and Jesus stays up, and he takes care of them. And then if we start in verse 35, it says this. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, he went out, and he made his way to a deserted place. And he was praying there. Now, Simon and his companions were searching for him. So this is Peter. Peter and the guys are looking for Jesus. They found him and said, everybody's looking for you. And he said to them, let's go. Jesus says to this, let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come. So he went into all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus wants to know God. Now, he is God. I know this is hard for us to grasp. Jesus being God, yet he communes with God. Jesus is fully God, yet he wants to have a relationship with the Father. And he extends that relationship out of the... He continues that relationship while he's on earth. And so Jesus needs to get away. He gets away, and he's going to pray. He gets away to have time with the Father. And you may say, so what is prayer? Prayer is not some crazy mystical thing. It's not a set of words that we say. It's not something that is rote where we have to say it the same way every time. Praying is just communicating with God. The same way you would communicate with a friend, the same way you would communicate with a parent, the same way you would communicate with a spouse or a child, you talk to them and they talk to you. So we want to pray. We want to spend time communicating with God. And Jesus gets alone to pray. And so we need to understand that prayer is communication with God. And prayer is used in parallel or side by side with the Word of God. So God speaks to us mainly through His Word. So I would encourage you, as you're reading the Word of God, we encourage you to do that. Get the Word in you. As you're reading the Word, have it in a prayerful attitude. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, when you read scripture, how do you respond to that? God speaks to you, you speak back to him. Maybe you're reading a scripture and that just hits you and you talk to God. Hey, God, I know this in my life. Let me give you an example. Love your enemies. And you're like, whoa. But God, you don't know these people. So maybe you read, love your enemies. God speaks to you, love your enemies. And maybe somebody's... comes to your mind. And God's saying you need to love him or you need to love her. And so maybe your prayer is, God, I'm not doing too well at this. God, I'm falling short on this. Can you help me to love them? And you pray for them genuinely. You know, it's hard to hate somebody you really pray for. And so we have prayer, we have communication, we have God speak to us through his word, and we speak to him through prayer. And so Jesus even gives us a model prayer. And it's probably a prayer you've heard over and over and over again. And it's a prayer that maybe is memorized by you. It's not a bad prayer. Jesus prayed it. It's good. And I want to just kind of walk through that real quick. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And I want to give you some categories that Jesus hits. The first category he hits is honor. Jesus hits honor. He says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name." He gives God honor. He recognizes who he's talking to. He's not talking to a buddy. God deserves more honor than your friend. He deserves more respect than your parents. God deserves your honor. And then he talks about being obedient. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So God, I want to obey you. I want to do what you want. I want to do the things that you have declared for me to do. And that way your kingdom comes through my obedience. So I want to honor you. I want to obey you. I want to ask you for some things. Yes, God does want to hear the prayer of his children. And sometimes that means, "God, I need some things." But please don't make your prayer just, "God, give me." He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." "God, I'm hungry. Can I get a hamburger?" And so there's asking in that. So we honor God, we obey God, we ask him for things, we seek out forgiveness. Forgiveness is the fourth thing. "God, forgive me my sins," or "forgive me my debts as I forgive those who sin against me." That whole hate your neighbor? No. Love those who curse you. Hate your enemy? No. Love your enemy. So I'm going to forgive those who have hurt me. I'm going to forgive those who have sinned against me, just like you forgave me. And then last but not least, guidance. "God, give me guidance. God, give me your wisdom." He says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God, I need your guidance on what I should do, where I should walk, what are the things I should give my attention to. Help me in life. And this is a general just kind of guidelines that Jesus gives to us. We don't know if Jesus prayed this on a regular basis or something like this. But the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, how should we pray?" And this is what Jesus says. Let me give you a model. So we want to know God. We want to know him better. We want to experience God. And Jesus gets away to pray. He gets alone. This is crazy. See, so Jesus has spent the night healing people, and then he gets up early before the sun, and he gets away to spend time with the Father. Because he wants to have that relationship. Do you want to have that kind of relationship with the Father? Let me give you three ways to know God better. The first way is this. Know that the Word and the Spirit act together. And that's kind of what I was talking about a while ago. The God's Word is the Bible, something you should pray, and his Spirit talking to us. They go together. They align. And so we want to pray the Word. And I want to tell you this. We use prayer so that it aligns us to God's will, not so that God's will aligns to our prayer. Let me say that again. We pray to align ourselves with God's will so that instead of aligning God's will to our prayer. In other words, we say, "God, change me and change my prayer, not God, do what I want you to do." So we want to align to God. So we want to know his word. We want to hear his Spirit. The second thing is, are you delighting in God? Do you delight to be alone with God? Jonathan Edwards, who was a famous preacher in the 1700s, he was basically called the theologian of the First Great Awakening. He was a pastor. He's known mostly for one sermon that he preached. We had to read it in high school. That's how well known it is. It's called "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." He asked this question, and so I ask you this question. He says, "Do I delight to retreat to a secret, solitary place, to enjoy a season of undistracted focus on my Lord through his word?" ask yourself this. Do I delight to retreat to a secret, solitary place to enjoy a season of undistracted focus on my Lord through His Word? Do you delight to get along with God? Jesus did, and He was God. He's the only unique Son of God, and He gets alone with Him. So we want to know God by having His Word in our life and praying, and we want to know God by delighting to be alone with Him. And third way, we need to have a satisfied soul. Are you satisfied with God? In Psalm chapter 63, verses 5 and 6, David or whomever's doing the psalm makes this statement. He says, "You satisfy me as with rich food. God, you make me happy like a big old steak," is what I would say. You can fill it in whatever you want, whatever your favorite food is. But God, you satisfy me. You make me happy like a big old steak, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When you eat good food, you talk about it. And that's what the psalmist is saying. And he goes on, he says, when I'm on my bed, I think of you. I meditate on you during the night watches. He says, when I get awoke in the middle of the night, it's you I think of. When I go to bed, it's you I think of. You are on my lips because I want to know you more. Do you want to know God more? Do you want to know God better? You know, we often admire Jesus for what He does. We often look at Jesus and say, man, that's awesome that He could do that. That's awesome he got up early and spent time with the Father. It's awesome that He got alone and went to a deserted place and hung out and had prayer alone. Let me encourage you, don't just admire Jesus, emulate Him. Don't just say, wow, Jesus was a great guy. Don't just say, wow, He did some cool things. Say, I want to be like Him and I'm going to do the things He did. Now, maybe you're not going to walk on water, but you can get up and go pray. Maybe you're not going to do the great things that Jesus did, but you can do the things like prayer. You can do the things like talking about the kingdom. You can do some other things like Jesus did. Don't just admire Him from a distance and say, wow, good job, but rather emulate Him. Be like Him. Do the things that He did. So we want to know God, but here's the kicker. In order to know God better, you have to say no to some things. In order to know God better, you have to say no to some things. And this is where we get the other knowing. N-O-I-N-G. Jesus is going to say no to some good things so He can do the best things. Okay, check this out. Jesus wakes up early in the morning, and He goes off to pray. Now, what's going on is that Jesus has been preaching, ministry's going great, things are awesome, He's preaching, people come after church to His house, and they're sick, and some are demon-possessed, and Jesus heals some of the sick folks, He casts out some of the deacons, and the deacons, wow. That was a Freudian slip, apparently. He cast out some of the demons. Wow. I don't even know where that came from. Oh, man. Focus, people. So Jesus, he cast out some of the demons. And imagine if you are in Jesus' ministry right now. Imagine if you're a disciple. Ministry is awesome. Things are booming, man. People are showing up to the event. People are coming in here and preach. People are coming to the after party. They're getting healed. They're praising God. It's wonderful. And Jesus gets up early and He goes by Himself. Now imagine you're Peter or you're one of the disciples, and you wake up. And Jesus probably has been healing people and casting out demons probably really late into the evening, maybe even after midnight before people, they finally say, okay, shut it down, guys. And so Jesus goes to bed and maybe only gets a couple of hours of sleep, and then he gets up before sunrise and he takes off. Jesus gets up before Peter awakes. Jesus gets up before the other disciples even know that he has left the building. And they wake up. Imagine you wake up, you wipe the crust out of your eyes. You look over to Jesus to say, man, we had a good night. And he's not there. And you're like, uh-oh, where'd he go? Maybe he ran to the outhouse. He'll be right back. But he doesn't come back. And so you're like, okay, well, we better send a search party out for this dude. I mean, ministry's kicking. We got a new day to start. Let's go get him. And finally, they find him. Finally, you find Jesus. What do? You know what Peter does? Peter rebukes him. Peter fusses at him. Don't you know we got people looking for you? In other words, what are you doing by yourself? We got a job to do. We got business to take care of. We got a booming ministry. Come on. Let's go back to Capernaum. What are you doing out here by yourself? Shame on you. That's the attitude at which Peter approaches Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus doesn't go back to Capernaum. He doesn't go back to that same place. Now, most of us are wanting to hang out in the place where things are going well, where people are coming, ministry's doing good. I mean, we're sending in our numbers to the convention and saying, hey, things are rocking here at this church. And Jesus says, hey, I've come to preach the kingdom. Let's go somewhere else. And you can imagine the countenance on the disciples. They just kind of drop. And they're like, what? But church is going good. Things are going great. What are you talking about? And he says, this is why I've come. I've come not to stay in one place and just heal a few folks, but I've come to preach the gospel. And I've come so that I can tell everyone about the kingdom of God. And Jesus has to say no to some things. First of all, he says no to sleep. Jesus is human. He needs sleep. And he only spends a few hours in sleep, but he gets up and he goes be alone with the Father. Are you willing to lose sleep? When was the last time you stayed up late or got up in the middle of the night or got up early in the morning before the sun came up to go and be alone with God? I don't say that in a fussing way. I say that to myself as well. When's the last time we were fully committed to God? So much so that we're willing to lose things. Jesus is willing to lose sleep. Are you willing to lose sleep? Are you willing to give up a little bit of sleep? Are you willing to give up maybe a movie? Are you willing to give up maybe some time with friends? Maybe overtime at work so that you can be alone with God? Jesus says, no, I'm going to give up some things. Not only does he give up sleep, he also gives up notoriety and a booming ministry in Capernaum. He gives up being the guy who is famous for healing people in Capernaum, for saying, I've got to talk about the kingdom, not just heal some people. You see, the people at Capernaum didn't really want Jesus. They wanted a miracle worker. And a lot of times as Christians, we come to Jesus not because we want him, but because we want a miracle worker. We don't really want to know him. We just want what he can give us. We don't really want to know God in an intimate, personal way. We just want him to answer our prayer and give us our check-off list. And Jesus says, no, I'm not doing it. That's a good thing. Ministry in Capernaum is good. They heard the gospel. They heard the message about the kingdom. Some of them were healed. Some of the demons were cast out. But that's not why I've come. So Jesus gives up sleep in this text. He gives up notoriety. And he begins to go around and preach in synagogues, other churches. And he begins to heal people and cast out demons in other areas as well. So my question for you is, in the rat race, in the craziness of life, what do you need to give up? What are the things that you didn't need to say no to? And if there are bad things, you need to say no to them anyway. But maybe there are some good things that you need to say no to so that you can give God your best. There are some things you need to say no to so that you can be your full self in other things. Some good things. I mean, the things I named earlier, going to school, being a moderator, teaching a class, all those are good things, but they were too much. So what about you? What do you need to say no to? What needs to go in your life? I hope you've been thinking about these things. And today I want you to commit to God that you're going to let this go. It means you're going to have to let some people down. Maybe you're going to have to offend some people. But you know what? You say no. Because you've got better things to do with God. What are the things in your life you need to say no to so that you can be a volunteer? Because God has called you to serve. That's a command. He does it over again. He says, do like I did. This is not optional as a believer. You are called to serve the church and serve the community. So what do you need to give up so that you can serve properly? And as they play, I invite you to stand and respond to God. You can do it where you are. You can come to the altar and pray. There's just something about walking out and giving it to God at the altar. You don't have to do that. We don't think less of you if you do that. If you want to pray, I would love to pray with you. What do you need to give up? How do you need to adjust your life so that you can really know God better? And what do you need to get rid of? What do you need to say no to?